Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, 7:21.
Yes, please.
We have our second guest of the morning because we had the fabulous Jill Schlesinger on earlier. Patrice McCarthy is from the Connecticut Association of Boards of Education. She was on the special transition committee regarding shared services, and the reality is that is already happening in Connecticut. Patrice, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Patrice. Same to you. Talk a little bit about your work on that transition committee and what was the main focus of the committee's attention.
Well, we were obviously charged with looking at ways where the new administration could support efforts for shared services with the goal of both cost efficiency and also better services. From our perspective, we looked very closely at what boards of education and their municipalities are already doing and looking at whether there are any barriers that the legislature could remove in order to facilitate more savings when there are cooperative efforts.
Teresa, just some of them that come to mind. One of them is, of course, for example, if you have a police department, two, three police departments, you might be able to share a dispatcher. I mean, there are ways you can save money already.
That's right. And in the education realm, a great deal has been taking place. Our regional education service centers help coordinate that. We have districts that are sharing special ed directors, speech pathologists, IT directors. They're doing joint purchasing of fuel, electricity.
Yeah.
They're also doing things such as forming consortiums for the purchase of health insurance.
Oh, wow.
What about the recommendation that over time smaller school districts would consolidate?
I think that's very much, given Connecticut's history, a local decision.
Right.
We have community members who feel very strongly about their individual schools. And in many cases, because of these shared arrangements, they do not have a significant administrative staff, but they are very committed to, for example, their local elementary school.
Yeah, and one of the things, this is one of the arguments against regionalization. So let's say that you had Hartford County collect all the property taxes, all that stuff, and then they decide how it was distributed. And so some of the towns in Hartford County would go, well, wait a minute, why is it all going there or going there? There's a problem with distributing the funds, I would guess.
You do certainly create the potential for conflicts, and I think that if we can continue to build upon the good models that are in place, sharing professional development. We have school districts that have combined athletic teams now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And again, that provides better opportunities for their students, and it also is a cost savings to the community.
And I know this is down the road, but let's suppose this comes about. What would be the cost of bus service? I mean, to ship kids, let's just use two towns as an example not that it's going to happen in these towns, but say from Bristol to Plainville or from Old Lyme to Old Saybrook.
Those are all issues that have to be carefully examined, and I think that's why the notion of voluntary collaboration and removing barriers to that is really where it's important to focus. We certainly know that the transportation challenges in Fairfield County are already significant.
Oh, good Lord.
And districts have, there are situations in Connecticut where they have joined together to bid their transportation contracts. There is sharing of special education transportation services. So districts are, every year when they build their budget, the superintendents and the boards are looking at what might make sense, what might be feasible. And is it good for students? We don't want students on buses for 2 hours each way.
Right.
And is there a cost savings to the community?
Hey, Patrice, you know, a question I would have, and one of the things that the head of cost and others will talk about, and by the way, we'll be talking to the new head of cost coming up at 8:50. But, I mean, the thing is, it's like these mandates, okay? So you were talking about special education. You were talking about this counseling, whatever it may be. If you are two towns and you want to combine the special education function, is that possible to do, or is there resistance?
Well, Well, it depends upon the situation. Obviously, special education is governed by not just state law, but also federal law.
Ah, yes.
There's always has always been a real issue that the federal government has never met their funding commitment to special education,
no.
which was to be on average 40% of the cost. So there's the funding side. There's also the fact that we have to look at the needs of the individual student, and that's what's required by law. So in some cases, there is the opportunity for a student to be in a program that's shared by two or more districts.
Right.
In other cases, the least restrictive environment for that child, which is what the law requires, is in their home local school.
Was there one recommendation, Patrice, that came out of this that maybe didn't get the publicity that you think is a hidden gem that might be just like a terrific idea for the governor and the lieutenant governor to put forth?
Well, I really think what came out of this was the willingness of everyone at the table to, in good faith, agree that there are issues that continue to need to be discussed further, that there is not some magic solution that no one has thought about before,
right.
but there is a spirit of real goodwill to try and tackle some of these issues.
Patrice, let me ask you one final question because I got to let you go, but we do. But the thing is, let's say with contract negotiations, let's say that the CEA or AFT, whoever is representing the union, the teachers in your town, could you do a collective pool, or does each town have to kind of sit on its own with this?
Well, under the current collective bargaining system, those contracts are bargained in each community.
Yeah.
But, for instance, if you're sharing a staff person, they could be governed for a portion of their time under one contract and a portion under the other. There is certainly a lot of similarity among the existing collective bargaining agreements.
Sounds like it will be an interesting year to see what happens with the new administration as far
Absolutely.
As education.
Opportunities.
Patrice McCarthy, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Have a great Monday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.